Let's pray now as we come to God's Word. Lord Jesus, You are holy, You are pure, as is Your Word, Lord. Your Word guides us and leads us, gives us hope. And Lord, we pray now that You would bless Your Word as it is read and preached. Pray that You would be honored and glorified. And pray that hearts and minds would be opened to hear at this point. We pray this all in Christ's name. We like the idea of power, don't we? Wouldn't it be great just to have a little bit more power? I used to think that when we had our old van getting on Route 2 and trying to get up to traffic in the four-cylinder van, wouldn't it be great to have a little more power to get up to speed here? I think of it now as I go home and look at the leaves around the parsonage, and I think I would like to have a jet-propelled leaf blower just to shoot them all into the woods. Power can solve some of our problems. And some problems are more serious, and we look to different types of power. We look to political power and military power to solve problems. We also look to one of the most powerful forces in the world, and that's the power of money. If you throw enough money at a problem, the hope is, well, it will be fixed. And you can't influence people and situations with money. But these are all earthly powers that I'm mentioning here. What happens when we come upon a situation that can't be affected by earthly power? What happens when lives are broken? Relationships have been destroyed? What happens when there's hopelessness and despair? What happens when someone is grieving or someone has received a message that their illness is terminal? What happens when someone is just desperately lonely or is lost, just can't seem to find any meaning or any path through life? These are things you can't throw money at. These are things that earthly power can't really affect. And that's when people often turn to the Lord. The thing is, we should turn to the Lord first before we turn to the earthly powers. But today we're going to take a look at heavenly power, spiritual power, power that Jesus brings and gives to people on earth. We'll be reading from Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 16. And last week we read that all the God's people were together, the church was together, and worshiping God and praising Him. Well, this is something that happens on a particular day. It says in Acts chapter 3, verse 1, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While the beggar held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade. When Peter saw this, he said to the men of Israel, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified His servant Jesus. You handed Him over to be killed, and You disowned Him before Pilate, though He had decided to let Him go. You disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked that a murderer be released to You. You killed the author of life, but God raised Him from the dead. We are witnesses of this. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man whom you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through Him that has given this complete healing to him, as you all can see." This is a story of great power. But before we talk about power, I want to talk about something that jumped out at me as I was reading this. And what this passage is telling us is that Jesus is still with His church. In previous chapter, we saw Jesus ascend into heaven. But here we see Peter doing something that is very Jesus-like. We see Peter walking up to somebody and healing that person instantaneously. If you read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you read Jesus doing that all the time. This is Jesus' affirmation that He is still with His church. Do you remember what Jesus said before He left His disciples? He said, "I will be with you always to the very end of the age." And you know, I have to say, when I put together my sermon outline, I put that as my first point. Jesus is with the church. And then I went on to talk about some other things, power and things like that. But then I looked back at the outline and I said, that's no small point that Jesus is with His church. That's not a small thing. I couldn't help but think back to the book of Joshua. You may remember the story of Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Joshua is just about to take over as the leader of the people of Israel. God is the king, but he is the earthly leader that God has appointed. And he's taking over for Moses. And I want you to think about some of the things that Moses did. He led the people through the Red Sea. They had bread come down from heaven and provide for them in the wilderness. Birds came down and just laid on the ground so that they could have food. Water came from a rock. And Moses led them through the wilderness, and there was this pillar of cloud, and God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, and He gave them to the people. And here you have Joshua. You think Joshua might feel a little bit uncomfortable of taking over for Moses? Hard thing to do, to follow a powerful, good leader like Moses. And three times in chapter 1 of the book of Joshua, Moses has just died, and God says this to Joshua, "Be strong and courageous." Three times He says, "Be strong and courageous." Then He says, "Be strong and very courageous." And the third time He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged." Why? The next verse says this, "For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." He is with you. What an encouragement. And that's the encouragement that Peter has here, and the early church has, that Jesus is still with the church. You know, I think about it in the way that I think about parents with a child. You know, what happens when the little kid runs into your room in the middle of the night? "Mommy, Daddy, I had a nightmare." You know, first thing you might say is, "Please go back to bed. You know, you're tired." But the next thing you say is, "Nothing to be afraid of. Mommy and Daddy are right here." That's what Jesus is saying in this passage. Nothing to be afraid of. I am right here. I am with my church. What an encouragement that is. And you know, sometimes we get caught up into looking at things through the earthly lens, and we start to think, well, I'm really not strong enough, or I'm not powerful enough or smart enough. I can't take this step of faith. I can't do what the Lord is asking me to do. I don't have it in me. And to that I would say, you're right. You don't have it. But He's got it. He's got everything you need. If He's calling you to do something, He's going to do the work. You know, a lot of people sometimes have a problem of low self-esteem or lack of confidence. And the answer to low self-esteem and low confidence is not necessarily telling people how wonderful they are, although it's good to build people up. But the answer to low self-esteem is making sure people have high God esteem and have confidence in Him, because that's where our confidence comes from. Our confidence comes from the Lord. And why do we have confidence in the Lord? Well, that brings me to my second point. Point number two is that the Lord is powerful. He can do all things. We see a man here who cannot walk. He hasn't been able to walk since he was born. Miraculous power. You think about the power of God to create the universe, to spin the galaxies into existence, to create the earth and the mountains and the oceans. Power. You see, it wouldn't matter so much if God were with us if God didn't have any power, if He were just another person. But God is all-powerful. But on top of being powerful, He is something else. He is compassionate. He is loving. You see, power without compassion can be a scary thing. Power without compassion is a monster, is an Adolf Hitler. But power with love and compassion is God, is the Lord. And you see in this passage, and I was thinking about this guy who was healed. Later we find out that he was in his 40s. Throughout his entire life, He couldn't walk. And this is in the days before wheelchairs and handicap access and things like that. And it said he had to be carried and put at this gate. And I can imagine this guy, when he needed to get somewhere, had to pull himself along the ground, and he was probably dirty, and he had to beg for an to even survive. What a terrible existence. But Jesus turns that around because he is powerful and compassionate. Jesus has all power. Jesus said before he left to go to heaven, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me." We see miracles throughout Jesus' ministry. We see him healing in the physical realm. We see him doing miraculous things, walking on water. Remember when he calmed the storm? There was a big storm out on the ocean, and Jesus said, "Quiet, be still." And the disciples were terrified. Who is this guy? He tells the wind to be quiet. He heals diseases. He has power over the spiritual realm as well. I want to read to you a passage from the book of Luke about Jesus' ministry. It says, "On a Sabbath, Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over forward and said to her, 'Woman, you are set free from your infirmity.' Then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God." That's power plus compassion. That's the ministry of Jesus. And see, in this passage, not only did she have a physical problem, she had a spiritual problem. There was an evil spirit. Jesus had the power to cast out evil spirits. He had the power to heal diseases. He had the power to do everything. And, you know, let's face it, if there's one aspect of your life in which you're hurting, it affects every other aspect of your life, doesn't it? If you're experiencing physical pain, it's easy to say, "Well, I'll just ignore it, mind over matter." But let's face it, that affects your emotional life and your spiritual life. Remember a few weeks ago, I had a relatively minor physical ailment. I had a bad case of poison ivy. And the doctors gave me steroids and antibiotics, and I asked him if the steroids would make me bigger and stronger, and he said it's not those kind of steroids. But anyway, you know, I had a physical problem, but it was affecting me emotionally. It was affecting me spiritually. I was still praying, but I was praying for one thing. "Lord, take this itch away. I can't sleep." It was affecting every aspect of my life. But the thing is, Jesus has power over everything. Your spiritual problems, your physical problems, and your emotional problems. He can do it all, and he has compassion. That's what we learn in this passage. And you know, as I think about the miracles of Jesus, I think, why does Jesus have to perform these miracles? He performs these miracles because there are problems in the world. There's sickness, there's disease, there's fighting, there's conflict, there's stress, and there's anxiety. And all these things are a result of sin in the world. If sin were not in the world, we wouldn't have any of these problems. But what Jesus is doing is he's restoring everything back to the way it was supposed to be. We started in paradise with Adam and Eve, and everything went miserably wrong from there. Now Jesus is restoring us back to paradise. And we can count on that as we look at these miracles, that there will come a day when there'll be complete restoration. Those aches and pains will be gone. The aging body, you'll be given a new body. You'll be given a new life. The stress and anxiety will be gone. We look forward to that day. You know, I was thinking about a famous quote by Fanny Crosby. You know, she's written a lot of hymns that are in our hymnal. And you may know that she was a woman who was born blind. And she reached a point in life where she actually said, "I'm glad I was born blind, because I know that the first face that I will ever see will be that of the Lord Jesus Christ." Because she knew that Jesus was restoring everything back to perfection. And that's what these miracles point us to. There will come a day. There is life-changing power in Jesus Christ. And how do you have access to life-changing power of Christ? It's through faith. If you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Scripture says you'll have a relationship with Him and you'll live forever. There is life-changing power in Jesus Christ. And it comes to us through faith. You know, I've heard people say, "You know what, I am who I am, I can't change. I keep messing up, I keep making the same mistakes, it's just who I am, there's no real hope for me." And to that, I use that famous Greek word I've used in the past, hogwash, right? That word that says, no, Jesus can change your life. It doesn't have to be the same. This past week, my dad and I went to visit a guy named Michael in prison. He's been in prison for over 20 years. And he was into drugs, and his life was just headed down the wrong path. He was disrespectful. He just was not a good person. And this was over 20 years ago. And he was arrested and convicted of murder. And he's been in there for more than 20 years. But in prison, he found the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is a great guy. His life has been transformed. If you knew him then and you knew him now, you'd say, it's not the same guy. Different guy. Why is he a different guy? Because the power of the Lord Jesus took over his life and changed him. He's completely changed. And it's been changed because he put his faith in Christ. And what faith really is all about is about saying, Lord Jesus, I believe that you are powerful and I'm powerless. That's what faith is. Trusting in Jesus Christ. And Peter has faith in Christ. Peter has faith that this man will be healed. Now we look at this passage and he says he prays in Jesus' name that this man would get up and walk. And I want to talk about that just for a minute here today. We looked at that in a sermon over the summer about praying in Jesus' name. In John chapter 14, Jesus says, "And I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name and I will do it." Now we read that passage and it appears to be saying if you just pray for anything and say in Jesus' name, you'll get what you want. But that's not what it's saying. Because you have to remember that in the Bible, the term name, whenever you hear the word name, it's more meaningful than what we give to names now. People's names meant something. And they were supposed to characterize everything that the person was about. So when we pray in Jesus' name, we're saying, I believe in Jesus, I believe in His power, and I believe in everything that He stands for. That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. You cannot pray to Jesus, Lord Jesus, help me to steal cars today in Jesus' name. You're not praying in Jesus' name if you do that, because you're not praying according to everything that He stands for. So to pray in Jesus' name is to pray according to His will and to His plan. So then the question you might ask is, well, you know, it says we can pray in Jesus' name. Does Jesus still work miracles? Do miracles still happen in the world? And there are different views on this issue. Some would say that the miracles either ceased or they haven't happened as much since the Bible has been written, since the first century. But I believe that the miracles do still happen. I believe it's also possible that maybe Peter and the other apostles had more power because they were the founders of the church than we might have today. I'm willing to concede that. But I believe that miracles do happen and that we can pray and that God answers prayer. God does answer prayer. But we don't get to decide when the miracles happen. God is not on a leash. We can tell Him to do tricks. That's not how it works. I'm reminded of a story at the end of one of C.S. Lewis's books in the Chronicles of Narnia. And you remember in those books you have Aslan the lion who is a Christ figure who is symbolic of Jesus Christ. And the lion is going and the lion walks away and the little girl asks, "Is that a tame lion?" And the response to the little girl is, "No, he's not tame, but he is good." That's the difference. Jesus, but you can trust that He is good and He will do what is good and He will do what is right. I want you to look at this passage and notice something else about God's power, though. And notice that God is using this miracle, this unleashing of His power, to open the door for the Word. Because you see, Peter begins to preach a sermon, and we'll read in the next chapter that about 2,000 people came to faith as a result of this sermon. But Peter uses the miracle as a door opener to preach a sermon. And that's what we see in Scripture a lot of times. We see in the book of Acts is that God uses His power to open the door to point people to Christ. You know, think about this. Here's Peter. And he's about to preach a sermon, but he has this man standing next to him who has been unable to walk for 40 years. I have to tell you, when I was in seminary, one of the things they taught us about preaching is you have to start with a good opening. You have to have an introduction that grabs people's attention. And that's not too hard to do, to have a good opening. The challenge is to keep their attention the rest of the time. But Peter has a great introduction. The Lord has done all the work for him, and he has this guy standing next to him. This guy jumping and leaping up and down and praising God. Who can argue with Peter's sermon at this point? Who can argue with a transformed life? You can't argue with the transformed life. And you know what I would say to that, an application for us is this, is when God does a work in your life, when you've seen the transforming power in your life, when you've seen God answer prayer, give the glory to Him. That's what Peter does. You notice how Peter doesn't say, yeah, I'm pretty good. Look at what I did. I healed this guy. Peter, the exact opposite, he says, why are you looking at us as if we did it? The Lord Jesus did it. And he points people to Jesus Christ. And some of you might be saying, well, I haven't seen a lot of power. I haven't seen miracles. I haven't healed anyone who was crippled since birth. But I'm going to say to you, if you are a Christian, you have seen power. You have experienced power in your life because you have experienced the Holy Spirit coming into your life and changing you and making you more like Jesus Christ. You have seen the Lord's power in your life. It has happened. That's the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. And we are to give glory to God. Be ready to point to the Lord. And you know what? You do have power. You do have power. All of us have spiritual gifts, gifts that the Lord has given to us. We've talked about that in previous weeks. Gifts of generosity, gifts of mercy, gifts of hospitality, gifts of intercessory prayer. There are numbers of different gifts. Don't be afraid to step out in faith to use those gifts. You know, we talked about it in Sunday school this morning, is that I wonder how Peter felt before this man was healed. I wonder what thoughts were going through his head. You know, he says to that man, a man who has never walked a day in his life, he says to the guy, get up and walk in the name of Jesus. And I wonder if the thought went through his head is, well, what if this doesn't work? I'm going to look pretty silly. No. He had a gift and he used it. You may not have the gift of healing as Peter does, but whatever gift that you have, step out in faith and use that gift. Because God's power is able to do whatever He is calling you to do. So here's the message today. Here's the main point. Believe in the power of Christ. Trust in Christ with all of your heart. And be ready to testify to the power of Christ in your life. And if you're sitting here thinking, look, I can't change. My life is a mess. I just can't get on the right path. Nothing's going right. I'm just destined to fail. You are not destined to fail. Because as it says in Scripture, as it says in Romans 8, we're not failures. It says we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And Paul goes on to say, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from His love and His power. Put all your faith in the life-changing power of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Oh, Lord, to be the recipients of Your power and love is something we don't deserve. But, Lord, You have given it to us because of Your grace. All we can say this morning is thank You. And, Lord, may we use this power and this love in a way that honors You and brings glory to Your name. We pray it all in Christ's name. Amen.